This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.
TDs have voted in favour of legislation that will remove the mandatory three-day waiting period for abortions in Ireland. The Sinn Féin bill passed in the Dáil by 86 votes to 70 and is being described by supporters as one of the most significant changes to abortion access since the repeal of the Eighth Amendment back in 2018. Supporters are arguing that the waiting period creates unnecessary delays and barriers for women seeking healthcare, while opponents believe it provides important time for reflection and was part of the framework approved by voters during the referendum. To discuss what this vote means for women's healthcare and why abortion rights remain such an important issue in Ireland, I'm joined by Maya Sapaye, Women's Health Officer at the National Women's Council. Maya, welcome to iRadio's group chat. Thanks for coming on and having a chat about this. For people who haven't been following this story very closely, they might be hearing about it for the first time now. Can you explain what the three-day waiting period is and why its removal is being debated right now at the minute?
Hi, Valerie. So thank you for having me on this evening. So the mandatory three-day wait refers to the time that someone must take to think about their choice to get an abortion. So when someone presents for their first appointment and says that they would like to get an abortion, they are then mandated to take 3 days to think about it and then return for a second appointment. So the reason why this is kind of in the news at the moment is because I'm very happy to report that a bill was passed yesterday and has gone into committee stage to remove the mandatory three-day wait. So it's great news and a great win for reproductive rights, because as you can imagine, this waiting period often acted as a barrier to care for many people.
I have heard that narrative from supporters of the bill who have said that the waiting period was an unnecessary barrier. Some TDs have argued that women should be just trusted to make these decisions without a mandatory waiting period. How important is that narrative and the fact it's coming across so strongly right now?
I think, yeah, it was a major barrier. And I think it's important to note that the three-day wait is not medically justified. So to have a non-medically justified wait in there on a healthcare issue was really unfair. And also it's very important to bear in mind that people have often really thought about it before presenting to get an abortion. So, you know, asking them to go home and think longer is really unfair and quite paternalistic, actually.
I can imagine it would be distressing in some circumstances as well, if people have already spent a number of days building up the courage to go and seek the healthcare, to then have to wait a bit longer. We're 8 years on from the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. Where do you think Ireland currently stands when it does come to reproductive rights?
I think with the passing of the three-day wait, removal of the three-day wait bill, it's a positive step forward. However, there are still a number of issues that have not, that there is really no movement on at the moment. And for example, so as you said, repeal of the Eighth was in 2018, and then we had the review of abortion care and providing abortion in Ireland in 2023 with the O'Shea review. And there was a number of recommendations in that review that have not been put into place. So I would say that today there's a lot of progress and it's exciting with this passing the bill to the committee stage. However, there is still a lot of work to be done.
Talk to me specifically about some of those things that still haven't been put into place yet, some of the barriers that we're still seeing.
So a major barrier that we're still seeing is the criminalization of healthcare workers. So within Ireland, you can get an abortion up to 12 weeks gestational period. But actually, it's important to note that that is 12 weeks from your last period. So it's actually a very, very short time period. And with many women not realizing that they're pregnant or struggling to get a GP appointment, you know, of course, it's a very time sensitive situation. So that's a major barrier. And then also with the fetal anomaly, that's another barrier. Often people only get diagnosed and become aware that there is something with a fetal anomaly after the 12-week period. Therefore, that puts healthcare workers in a very, very difficult position, because if they are to perform an abortion, they can face up to 14 years in prison. So that often leads healthcare providers to not choose to provide care. And then that often leads women to having to travel and families having to travel in a hugely difficult time.
Opponents of the bill to remove that three-day wait period, the one we're talking about this evening, they say that there's no public appetite for this change. What would you say to that?
I would hugely disagree with that. I think there is huge appetite, and I think the fact that it has passed is a sign that there is appetite. I think the key issue with this is that it was mandatory, and the fact is if somebody still wants to take the time or feels that they want to wait in it, they still have the right to that. But it was hugely unfair to make everybody have to wait those 3 days.
What about the practical impacts of this? People might not understand nearly like what difference it could make, the 3 days, if you want to say it as bluntly as that. But what difference could removing the 3 day wait make to someone who is seeking an abortion?
So we see that the 3 day wait really impacted vulnerable and marginalized communities. For example, rural women. If you're looking at a rural woman who has to take a number of different types of transport to reach her first appointment, and then is told to wait 3 days and then return back, you know, you really have to factor in the amount of time, the cost to get that public transport, the time to get to the appointment. You know, it's hugely, hugely difficult. So in that example, you know, it would just be logistically so much easier for people to access that care if they can present on that one appointment and get the care that they need there. The same as the situation we see with women in domestic violence situations. You know, it can be hugely difficult to be able to leave the home to access an appointment, let alone access to. So it's just a huge win that, you know, people can hopefully access appointments easier and provide and get care in a timely and compassionate manner.
We've seen abortion rights come under a lot of pressure in countries around the world in the last couple of years. Does that make protecting and improving access here in Ireland even more important?
I would say so. And we've recently had the My Voice, My Choice movement within the European Union. And it's a fantastic movement, and also a movement that's really run by the people and the populations of Europe and members of the European Union. So I think it is pivotal that we keep fighting and we keep working for reproductive rights in Ireland and abortion access, and also know that we have a lot of power within ourselves to campaign as well.
What would you like listeners to understand about women and families affected by these decisions this evening?
I'd like to people to understand that people deserve to be treated compassionately and be cared for and be at the center of their care, and that abortion is healthcare, and that people deserve to have a positive experience when accessing abortion. As I've said previously, this is not an easy decision to make, and women are still faced with very, very difficult situations, as having to travel in some cases when they would like to access an abortion. So I think just to keep in mind that, as I say, abortion is healthcare, and that everyone deserves to be treated with compassion when seeking healthcare, and that progress has been made today, and I'm very happy to report on that, but that there is still progress to be made so that everybody has access to care and equal access.
The bill is moving now to the committee stage. What happens next, and what changes would you like to see in women's healthcare in the future?
So at committee stage, it will now be scrutinised and discussed. So it will be discussed with an attorney and also with the health committee. So any changes will be made in that stage. And then it could be likely that we're seeing at the moment that it will likely take until end of this year that this will actually become into law. So it will still be a little bit of time until we do see it into law, but that will be what will be happening at the committee stage. And then I hope that for the future, that this kind of, I think we're seeing that abortion is back on the agenda in government, which is a fantastic thing to see. So I hope that with this bill being, you know, scrutinized and discussed, I hope that we can also see further recommendations from the O'Shea report put into action and into place. Because as I say, there's a lot of work to do. So I really hope that this movement and this attention that's being shown to abortion can lead to further progress for reproductive rights in Ireland.
Maya, as the Women's Health Officer at the National Women's Council, if people want to see the resources that ye provide, where can they find you online?
So we are on Instagram. We are also have our website, the National Women's Council. I would say our website and Instagram.
Amazing. Maya, thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening and discussing this with us and making it maybe a little bit easier to understand for people as well.
Hopefully. Thank you so much for having me on, Valerie. It was great to talk to you.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.